With a thought on the origins of the Christian church and why God placed it where he placed it, here's Pastor Al Pittman.
If he just wanted a white church, they could have been in Western Mesopotamia. If he wanted to be all black church, it would have been birthed in Africa. But look where it was birthed, where all cultures and people were involved. Look at the wisdom of God, amen? Look at the wisdom of God. That's what the church ought to look like. Give him praise and glory, amen? I'm not making this stuff up. This is what he chose to do. Says something to us in the church today.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Greetings in Christ from all of us here at The Dwelling Place, the broadcast ministry of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado, featuring pastor and author Al Pittman. Al is currently leading us through a verse-by-verse study through the book of Acts. Today, we'll look at several verses of chapter 2. Luke, the author of Acts, describes one of the most amazing events in human history, the descending of the Holy Spirit. As you might imagine, the people who witnessed this miraculous event were stunned and amazed. Let's get the details on today's broadcast of The Dwelling Place. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
He wanted to birth the church someplace else. He could have birthed it in, let's just say, Maui. Amen. Lord, once you birth the church, we will grow, you know, kicking back, you know, hanging loose and all that kind of stuff in Maui. But no, right there at the crossroads of the world, because God wanted to engage the entire world. And that tells me something about the church today, that the church was never meant to be some isolated, powerless form of religion. And that's what the world's trying to make it. They don't want you to talk about Jesus in school or in courts and or bring him up and on, unless it's politically expedient, and now everybody's a prayer warrior. Everybody's praying now, right? Yeah, when it's politically expedient. But God is, you know, but when it's not, well, we don't want to hear about Jesus and all this. Just isolate it. You know, whatever you do in these four walls, Pastor Al, it's fine. But don't let anything get outside of these walls. That's the world, once it's isolated. No, the Lord wants us to engage our culture. Jesus, look where amen. Give him praise and glory. Amen. Look where the church was birthed. At the crossroads of society. Not some, you know, way out somewhere, you know, but at the crossroads of society. God wants us engaging people. And let me just tell you, your crossroads is your job or your school or whatever, your family, whatever. That's your crossroads. You know, you go on to work and you know, I don't like these people. These people, they're demonic here. God says, that's why I put you there. It's your crossroads. Now bear your cross. Amen. 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 On the road. Amen. Because, you know, or at school, they don't even believe in God here. That's your crossroad. But listen, we can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So wherever you are in society, God has called you to be there. It is your crossroads, and God has put you there to engage the culture, not to run from it. Amen. And so the Bible tells us, and Peter reminds us, in 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, not arrogance and pride. Meekness and fear. But notice, this is why many of us do not engage the culture, because in the very first here, Peter says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Set aside the Lord as your king, as your Lord. Set aside the Lord as supreme ruler in your heart and in your life. Now I'm empowered with the Holy Spirit to be and to make an impact wherever God has placed me in life. Amen? And so here the church is being placed there. Now notice something else. From its inception, God calls his church to be a diverse, multicultural community under the leadership of Jesus Christ. He said, well, where do you get that from? Look at all the different people that were there. If he just wanted a white church, they could have been in, you know, Western Mesopotamia. If he wanted to be all black church, it would have been birthed in Africa. But look where it was birthed, where all cultures and people were involved. Amen? Look at the wisdom of God. Amen? Look at the wisdom of God. That's what the church ought to look like. Give him praise and glory. Amen? I'm not making this stuff up. This is what he chose to do. Says something to us in the church today. You know, well, we want to move way out. Well, ain't none of them kind of people coming. Really? That's not what he did. Right there in the heart, the crossroads of humanity, is where the church ought to be. black, white, brown, you know, green. I don't care what color you are, what culture you are. That is the church, the body of Jesus Christ. Now, we celebrate the birthday of the great civil rights leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was a proponent of diversity. And he said in his I Have a Dream speech, many of us know it, he said that he dreamed of a time when men would not judge one another by the color of their skin, but what? By the content of their character. Amen? And here's what I'm, the reason I bring that up is the very fact that Martin Luther King's dream should be a reality in the church, not a dream. In some churches, it's just a dream. Just a dream. But it ought to be a reality in the church, and the church ought to be a light to the world to demonstrate to the world what multicultural unity really looks like. Amen? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? And how do we achieve that? It's very simple. It's really simple. Jesus said it. He gave us a commandment. He didn't give us 10 commandments. He said, I give you this one commandment. Here it was, how we can achieve multicultural community and unity today, in this day and time, with so much divisiveness and so much hatred that is out there. How do we do that? How do we achieve that? Listen to what Jesus said. My commandment I give to you. Amen? This is my commandment, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. And? No, that's it. Period. End of story. Love people the way Jesus loves you. The crowd, understanding that they were different culturally and linguistically, were blown away by the fact that they could all hear these common, underline common, individuals speaking in their native tongue. Are these not Galileans, they said. The name Galilean is interesting because it was often used as a term of contempt and reproach. Did you know that? Are these not Galileans? You know, contempt and reproach. Roman Emperor Flavius Claudius Julianus. Don't name your child that. Hey, Flav, what's happening? You know. Roman Emperor Flavius Claudius Julianus, who reigned sometime after Christ, around AD 361 to 363, called Christ the Galilean God and made a law that all Christians should be called Galileans. Did you know that? It didn't work. You can legislate, but only God can make it stick, right? Only God, his word. Heaven and earth will pass away. His word will remain forever. So the name didn't stick. We're called Christians today. But to be called a Galilean was not a compliment, say the least. And Emperor Flavius was basically saying, Jesus is the God of the Galileans. Jesus is the God of losers. Jesus is the God of the outcast. Jesus is the God of the low class. Jesus is the God of the no class in society, the worthless of society. And I thought about that. I thought, but isn't it like the nature of God to choose losers to be winners? Amen. Isn't it like the nature of God to invite the outcast to his table? Amen. Isn't it like the nature of God to take the low class and to lift them up to high places? Amen. I love what Paul reminds us of in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you can turn there quickly with me, I'm going to read it. It's worth reading. It reminds us that it is all him and it's not us. But the Bible tells us, there in verse 26, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. In other words, there's some of us who are noble and wise and, you know, we're at the top of our class and all this that God has called, but ain't all of us. Amen. Didn't get too many amens on that one. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty and the base things of the world, the despised things, the base things, the yucky things of the world, that the things and the things that are despised, God has chosen. Wow. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh, here's the reason, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his name. God has chosen. Yes, give him praise and glory. Thank the Lord.
Pastor Al will be back in a moment with the second half of today's message in Acts chapter 2. Here at the midway point of today's broadcast, I want to thank you for tuning in today. It's a very big deal to us that you faithfully join us as part of our listening family, and I can tell you that Pastor Al really appreciates it. Would you like someone to pray for you? We would count it a real blessing to be able to do that. So share your prayer needs with us by going to our website, cwccs.org, and click the Need Prayer tab at the top of the homepage. That's cwccs.org. And again, we would also appreciate your prayers for this radio ministry. I think you'll agree, sound Bible teaching is exactly what this world needs right now. Thanks for remembering the dwelling place in your prayers. Now here's Pastor Al with the conclusion of today's message titled, The Great Day.
God has chosen those things that are weak and that are foolish. He has called us for his name's sake and for his glory. And when he called us, he doesn't renege on his call. God loved you. He called you. He still loves you. You say, well, I don't deserve to be loved, Pastor, but he still loves you. Amen. He doesn't change his mind. I shared this, I think, Saturday night, but, many years ago, back in the early 80s, I was involved with the church, and I left the church not because something I did or whatever, but I saw what I term the underbelly of the church. Amen. Amen. People think, oh, you just sit around and pray all day and just sing songs. No. There are things that happen in the church, the underbelly of the church. And I decided to leave the ministry, and the devil convinced me that the church was a lie, and, you know, I was doubting God, and I went to work at this place, and you know, I wasn't going to be a yuppie. I was going to be a buppy. Amen. Not a young urban professional, whatever they call it, but I was going to be a black urban professional, you know. And we called them buppies back then. This is way before a lot of your time. Amen. So I got me some Stacy Adams and some wingtips or whatever. And, you know, amen. Had my tie on, you know what I'm saying? A little afro going on and stuff. I was moving on up to the east side. Amen. I got in a conversation with one of the people that worked for me, and she was talking about ministry, and I was talking about how, you know, God calls you to ministry and all of this, and she was saying, oh, talking about it, but it's a great vocation. I said, it's not a vocation. It's a calling. It's not like a job. You don't choose to, you know, to go into ministry. God has to call you into the ministry. And she looked at me, and boy, out of the mouth of babes and out of the mouth of people that you don't even expect, she looked at me and said, how do you get uncalled? God jacked me up in the middle of the store that day and said, yeah, Al, how do you get uncalled? And I just, man, it convicted my heart. Of course, you know, rest of it's history, but, you know, here I stand. Amen. You don't get uncalled. Amen. His gifts and callings is without repentance, and so is his love. Amen. He loves you. He never stopped loving you. Amen. God doesn't change his ways. Even though you're weak and you may feel like you're foolish or whatever, he called you. Amen? He still called you. He still loves you. Amen? According to his mercy and his grace. Well, back here in verses 6 and 12, in both of those verses, we find two reactions from the people in response to the Holy Spirit phenomenon. One is amazement. They marveled and they were perplexed and all. And the other is the people mocked. And we find the same reaction today when people, we declare the wonderful works of God. There are people who sit in amazement, and then there are others who mock. And why do they mock? Well, they mock because many people believe that if you mock something, it kind of takes you off the hook of accountability. You know, if I could just laugh at it, it'd be preaching to my Jesus, you know. And they mock it and mock it. It takes all, it doesn't take you off the hook. It doesn't change anything about God and nothing about yourself. You still need a Savior. The Bible says it doesn't take you off the hook. Mockery does not take us off the hook. You know, I love comedy and all this, but sometimes people, you know, they get really crude and they start mocking Jesus and all this kind of thing. It doesn't change anything about Jesus. And it sure doesn't change anything about your destiny. You must be born again. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Amen. The old saying, one out of one person dies, right? We must give an account. In conclusion, the great day was a promised invasion of the believer's heart, a promise given to us by Jesus Christ, and it was fulfilled. Actually given to us by God and by the Father, fulfilled through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he said, I will send to you a comforter. I will not leave you as orphans. I'll send you to you a comforter, a helper. And he sent the Holy Spirit, but he came in. He invaded our hearts, invaded our hearts. And it's necessary. It's a necessary invasion for every believer. It's necessary that we open our hearts to the Lord every day and say, Lord, invade my heart. Invade my heart. Come in, Lord. Be with me. Change me. We need the Spirit of God. We need the Word of God, but we need the Spirit of God. We need both of them. As the old saying goes, if you have only the Word, you dry up. If you have only the Spirit, you blow up. Amen. If you have both, you grow up. Jesus said the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen. We're just going by our feelings and running out here jumping around in church all the time. Woo! Coming out and going, woo, we had church today. Yeah. Well, what did the pastor say? I don't know, but we had church. Wait a minute. It's spirit and truth. Amen. If you have all truth, you become a Pharisee. Well, guess what I know? I know you're on your way to hell. Ha, ha, ha. It's what the Bible says. You know, I mean, we become a Pharisee and we dry up. We have all spirit, just feelings and emotion, you know. Then we can blow up because we're open to heresy. But with both, you grow up. Amen. Praise his holy name. You got to have them both. You know, I remember hearing a pastor say one time, I'll never forget this, and he was, you know, he was talking to his thousands of people, and he said, how many of you want to be rich? And everybody, you know, everybody wanted to be rich. And he said, you know what, I'm not into, people come up to me and say, Pastor, where's the scripture for that? I'm not into that. I'm into the experience. And I thought, oh, God, help us. Because if you can't give the word to what you're experiencing, then what you may be experiencing could be heretical. Amen. And it can lead you down a dark path. You need the word and you need the spirit. Pastor Jim Cimbala, the author of Fresh Wind and Fresh Fire, as we're talking about this new infilling or refilling, a continual filling of the Holy Spirit, because that is what the life of the believer is. We're being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. He wrote a book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. It talks about just a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. He said this, and I quote, he said, I despair at the thought that my life might slip by without seeing God show himself mightily on our behalf, close quote. And I think right there is the heart of really revival. You know, are we content with just allowing the Spirit, the move of the Spirit to slip past us here at Calvary Worship Center? Are we content to just come and just to hear some words and then leave and never experience in our own lives individually the mighty move of God or the mighty move of God in our congregation? God help us if we are, because if we are, then we've become apostates. Our hearts have grown apathetic. Our heart has grown cold and we have left our first love. But if we desire and yearn to see God move in our lives and within our church, God's going to show up. Amen. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, the old song says, do not pass me by. Lord, I want to experience it. Amen. Cimbala goes on to write also in his book, and he said this, for those of us who struggle with, oh, God's going to pass me by because I'm so weak, I failed, oh, God's given up on me. No, listen, this is what Cimbala said, and I quote, he said, I discovered an astonishing truth. God is attracted to weakness. He can't resist those who humbly and honestly admit how desperately they need him. Our weakness, in fact, makes room for his power. Close quote. I love that. Amen. Amen. Well, that's what Jesus said to Paul. And Paul said, boy, then I'll rejoice in my infirmities. I'll rejoice in these things. Why? Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Amen. God is attracted. We think, you know, according to popular belief, that God's attracted to the strong. See, that's a worldly mentality. No, God looks over this congregation this today and over at Creekside. He looks over and people watching online, wherever you are, and his strength is drawn to the weakest among us. Amen. The person just barely barely hanging on to God, I can't make it. That's where you'll find the power of God. Our weakness is an attraction for his strength. God brings you to the end of yourself. Sister came up to me after the last service and said, Pastor, thank you for reminding me of that. Now I understand what God was doing in my life. She said, I had cancer. I got so weak, I had nowhere to turn. And he said, God healed me, but God showed me in that indeed he brought me to a place of complete, utter dependence upon him, complete, utter weakness. And there I found his strength. Amen. See, that's the Bible. That's scripture. That's the power of God. When you're weak and you're saying, man, you sneak in the back of the church, and I know nothing against people in the back of the church, but you sneak in the back of the church, you sit back there, you're just kind of on the edge of your seat because you think you're going to get up and bounce out at any moment because you're going to hear something you don't like or whatever, and you're just barely hanging on. God says, my power is for you. He's not against you, he's for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. Praise his holy name. God's invasion in Acts chapter 2 is what we call revival. Revival is an awakening to his dynamic, transformative presence in our lives. An awakening. Here's a prayer that I have. I wrote it down. It's for myself and it's for all of us this week. And that is this: Lord, invade my heart this week. Do not ask for permission. Come suddenly as a violent, mighty wind and fire. Take me beyond amazement and mockery. The majesty of thy presence.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're there checking our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. We're excited to announce that our Calvary Worship Center online store is now available at cwccs.org. You can order shirts, Pastor Al's books, music, and more. Every purchase goes back into the ministry to further the gospel and help support this radio ministry. Just go to our website at cwccs.org and click on the store tab and make your purchase today. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Now, here's a special message from Pastor Al.
Hello, this is Pastor Al Pittman with Calvary Worship Center. The COVID-19 pandemic has rocked the lives of people across the nation and the world. COVID-19 may destroy the body, but sin can destroy the soul. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you received God's gift of forgiveness through faith in Christ? There is no need to wait for the vaccine that God offers for our forgiveness. Simply by repeating this prayer after me, you can receive his forgiveness. Simply say, Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my life and to change me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, let us know. Go to cwccs.org/Jesus, and we will send you free information to help you in your new life in Christ. God bless.
Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.